Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and a writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, coming to you on this Thursday, day after the Pelicans lose on the road, 118-98, 20-point loss to the Detroit Pistons, in a game that, if you're a Pelicans fan, should make you pretty mad, actually, to be honest. Pels had won the first three quarters of the game, had a lead going into the fourth, and then were absolutely just run out by the score of 35-17 in the fourth quarter. Going to recap this game for you here today on Locked On Pelicans. Going to talk a little bit more about the basketballbreakdown.com GM thing I've been doing, where are the trades standing. Not as easy as it seems to be a GM, I can tell you all that right now. So that'll be what's on today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is on iTunes, is on Audio Boom, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found. It's also part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You hear it in the intro, you know, your team every day. There's a podcast out there for every NBA team, every NFL team, the NFL draft, the NBA draft, fantasy football, fantasy basketball, just the NBA in general, the NFL in general. Basically anything you want to listen to, there's a podcast out there for you as part of the network. That's the wonderful thing about it. Saints fans, make sure you're subscribing to Locked On Saints. The offseason is just getting started. Draft is coming up in a little bit. Free agency, what's going on there? They added some new coaches, brought some old assistant coaches back. A lot going on. Make sure you're following them and you're subscribed to them. And while you're at it, make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Pelicans, the only podcast coming to you daily like this, covering your favorite team. So this 20-point loss for the Pelicans in Detroit, not good. Let's just get that out of the way right now. Not good. Let's talk about the Pels first. I'm going to talk a little bit about Detroit, then I want to talk about that fourth quarter. So Davis, who had probably his worst game of the year, not probably, did, the other night against Toronto, did bounce back 31 points, 12 rebounds. He was 13 of 24 shooting, 54.2%. Don't forget, against Toronto, he only shot like 22.2% from the field. Didn't get to the line as much in this game as he did there, but he was 5 of 6. You know, kind of did his job. He had 4 blocks. He's done well against Andre Drummond in his career against him. So good to see a bounce back game from him. Holiday continued kind of the hot streak he's been on. 22 points, 11 assists, 10 of 17. Didn't make a three though. But he's been scoring well in 20 plus in the past couple of games, had 10 plus assists the past couple of games. He's really been, you know, that help that they always have envisioned him being a scorer-wise next to Anthony Davis. The problem was no one else gave them any help, really, in this game. The only other guy in double figures was Terrence Jones, who scored 11 points in 27 minutes. And after that, it gets kind of sad. You had three guys scoring 9 points in Evans, Moore, and Hill. Donatas Mata-Yunus, who had been putting together a nice string of games, held scoreless. In his 12 minutes, just not effective. He didn't even take a shot, really, which is kind of surprising. You at least want him moving and shooting somewhat. So not a good game overall for the rest of the Pelicans, and it just goes to show you they need to make a move or two at the trade deadline to try and bring in some scoring, to try and bring in some help, because right now absolutely nothing is going on for him in the ability to score points and to keep up with other teams. The second this offense gets ice cold, you kind of feel like they're done. you know, at one point they were down in this game by about 16, managed to come back and take the lead in the third quarter. And the problem with getting down so far is you have to spend all that energy to come back just to get to even. Holiday said this the other day with the Wizards game and said, you know, you have to expend all that energy, run some of your best sets just to try and get back to even. And by the time you're tied with the team or you have a small lead, you've got nothing left. And that's the issue with the Pelicans. Their offense goes ice cold. They get in a deficit. And it's just, they can come back, yeah, but after they can come back, it's pretty much impossible to do anything else. So, and they just don't have the people to go and do a ton of scoring. I mean, they had, I think it was 20 bench points on the night. 20. That's it. Yeah, just 20. Unbelievable that they weren't able to get anything going whatsoever. And I mean, I say unbelievable is that it's bad and it's like, wow, that's just a terribly low number. The problem is it really that unbelievable when you look at the guys on the roster? And I mean, you lose Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon. It's tough to make up their production, even though those guys weren't, you know, playing like they are in Houston when they were here in New Orleans. But still, this roster is a bit of a mess. And as I'm going to talk about in the next segment after I recap this game, there's no real way to go about fixing this quickly in the short term. Now, I want to talk about the fourth quarter and what happened there, because it was pretty much disaster for the Pelicans. One, getting outscored 35-17. And again, offense had spent all its energy beforehand. They really didn't have anything left in the tank in the fourth quarter, frankly. Only guy who really did any work in the fourth quarter was Drew Holiday, scoring 9 points. Davis had 4. But you need more of that out of, you know, your best player, the leader of your team, the franchise cornerstone. And he seems like he's been in a bit of a rut recently, whether it's he's upset with the losing or he's just been banged up as he had been. Who knows? But things aren't looking too good for him at the moment, at least in this fourth quarter. Good game overall, though. But the other team is where it's a bit intriguing, because you want to know who burned the Pels in the fourth quarter? The immortal Ish Smith. Former Pelican, moved him away for a second-round pick last season to the 76ers. He was 4-4, hit 1-3, and scored 11 points. Burned him, just driving. It was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope also lit him up for another 11 points. So they had two guys that scored 11 points themselves. 22 total right there. Pel's best player in that quarter had 9, and the next had 4. So half of their total. Not a good thing for the Pelicans, especially because those guys aren't world beaters here. Davis Caldwell-Pope did have 38 on the night. Kind of got what he wanted. The whole team for the Pistons kind of shot hot a little bit. And if you look at the Pelicans in the fourth quarter, they most certainly didn't. So fourth quarter, Detroit was 13 of 19, 68.4%. Pelicans were 8 of 24, 33.3%, and they didn't make a shot outside of the paint in the fourth quarter. They missed 6 threes and 2 mid-range jumpers, so 8 shots missed. Most of their looks came basically right in the restricted area. Only 2 of those 8 didn't. So 6 in the restricted area, 2 right outside of the paint when it comes to their shot chart and shooting. Not good. This offense is a mess at times, and they just look so stagnant. They look discombobulated. Just nothing good for the Pels, you know, throughout this game, other than the fact that they managed to battle back. But at that point, they just couldn't do anything else after that, you know, and disappointing to see. So it pops the Pelicans into the 13th spot in the Western Conference now. Still, luckily, only 3 games back of Portland, who's now in the driver's seat for the 8th position, tied with the Denver Nuggets. But so Nuggets are 9, Sacramento is 10. Then all of a sudden 11 is the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks, who were a disaster to start the year, now have a better record than the Pelicans do. Then it's Minnesota, who'd been behind New Orleans in the standings for a very long time. And then finally you get to the Pelicans. And they're 3.5, and they're 3 games back. But you have 4 teams, 5 teams in the Pelicans' way for that 8th seed. unless they start stringing together some wins and playing consistent, the playoffs aren't happening. Like I said, they could be out of the playoff race by the end of January, and it's certainly looking like that right now. So before we wrap up Locked On Pelicans today, let's talk about the basketballbreakdown.com trade deadline project. As you guys know, I've been working on a few deals trying to move Omer Asik, and I had a few priorities, being the fake GM of the Pelicans here, but approaching it realistically. Try and move Asik if I can. Try and keep as many assets as I can to try and move those for someone who's going to help the Pelicans offensively, which after the game last night, you see they absolutely need. So the Omer Asik deals are starting to kind of falter. And everyone who's interested in him, other than the one Charlotte trade, which would include a first-round pick swap, wants there to be a first-round pick attached to Omer Asik. And frankly, I don't feel comfortable moving a first-round pick with Asik just to get his deal off the books, especially because you need to take back some salary too, and it's likely not going to all be expiring contracts. So the way I look at it, and I have this kind of in leverage with my pocket when I deal with these other GMs, is that if the team were to use the stretch provision on Omer Asik after the season, and I don't know if you're all familiar with that, but the way the stretch provision works, it was put in the 2011 CBA. Basically, you get rid of kind of a, it helps more or less amortize and changes the schedule of payments to a player over a different period of time. So Omer Asik after this season has 3 years left. And the end of his contract isn't as bad because the last season I think is only guaranteed $3 or $5 million. I'm forgetting off the top of my head. And so they could cut him there, only pay him $3 million, and that's it. And it's not the, you know, right around 10, 11 that it is the two seasons after this one. So you take the number of seasons remaining on a player's contract, you double it, so that puts us at 6, then you add 1 to it, so 7, and then you spread the remaining money, which is about between 24 and 25 million, let's go high at 25 for Omer Asik, over that period of time. So it would be 25 million over 7 years for Omer Asik, which comes to a cap hit of about 3.75, let's round up, 3.6 per season. So if I'm taking back, say, in the example of the Spencer Hawes deal, I'm moving Asik and Langston Galloway and now Terrence Jones and a first-round pick swap with the Hornets, and I were to take back Roy Hibbert, who's a $5 million expiring deal, plus Spencer Hawes, who's $6.3 million over, or $6.3 or $6.6, I forget, over the next couple of seasons. So by moving Asik there, you know, it's his 9.9 minus a 6.3 of Spencer Hawes. So you're saving, what is it, 3.6 million this season and next season. Well, if I just use the stretch provision on Omer Asik, I'm paying him 3.6 instead of 10 next year. I'm saving 6.5. So all of a sudden, the savings are greater by using the stretch provision. Now, you're paying more money out because let's say you use that rest of that cap space to sign people, so you're not actually saving money, but you have more room under the salary cap, which in and of itself is a very useful thing to have. But moving Omer Asik and attaching him to Langston Galloway, Terrence Jones, and a pick swap, as well as potentially giving up a second-round pick or two, that's just gotten too rich for me when I can just stretch him when, you know, the Pelicans, I don't know if that's realistic they'll do it, but it's certainly probably something they've considered. So, nah, I think I'm going to have to probably back out of this trade, keep Omer Asik, and, you know, beg the owner to stretch him at the end of this season and atone for my mistake. It might be tough for Dell Demps to do that because that's not going to be easy to kind of admit the sunk cost that he is, but he is one. And it's do something to make this team, you know, better. So now I'm going to explore some other options, and that's bringing in just some more offensive help. You know, I was kind of looking at Lou Williams from the Lakers, but he was traded. Paul Millsap is one you've kind of got to be thinking about trying to bring in, but it gets a little bit scary because you do know he is, what, 31, 32. You're going to need to max him out. But he's a very good player, and if your core is Davis, Millsap, Holiday going forward, you wouldn't feel as bad about that. And at least you have a team, like I said, that would be competitive. You might not be winning a title, but again, I don't know if there's anything this team was really going to do that was going to make them win a title. And, you know, if you can add one or two pieces around those guys, it might be able to improve this roster. And at least you get into the second round of the playoffs, which, you know, you don't go from not making the playoffs to winning a title or getting into the NBA Finals. There's a gradual process to this here. And Millsap, you know, would certainly be a guy that would help. Another player I've got to at least try and burn some tires on here is Carmelo Anthony. And I know this is going to upset a lot of people, but you need some scoring. And a guy who might be able to pair well with Davis and Holiday, Anthony could be the guy. You can at least run him potentially at the four and go with a small lineup there. I know he doesn't like to play that position, while keeping Solomon Hill out there, which gives you some better defense. Question is what you need to give up, at least one first-round pick. I would try not to do any more than that. But you're going to need to give up some other players too, and potentially Buddy Hield in that deal, which, you know, doesn't necessarily sound like an ideal thing. So I'm going to reach out to the Knicks and see if there's any interest in doing that. And also the question is, would Melo waive his no trade clause to come down to New Orleans to be the second best player on a team and not a big market? Knowing Carmelo Anthony and what you've heard about him, you have to figure that's not going to be the case. But, you know, now with only today and tomorrow left on this little simulation thing we're doing, kind of my back's against the wall and I need to try and make a move. But frankly, there just doesn't seem to really be a move out there that works for me and that makes this team better in the short term while not absolutely killing them long term. And the other problem is, as much as I'd like to just openly outright tank and grab a bunch of first round picks in what's a pretty good draft, I can't. My job's on the line. I'd love to trade Drew Holiday for first-round picks, but I'm just unable to do so. If I wasn't approaching it from the position of Dell Demps, saying kind of having Anthony Davis in his contract extension and everything, then yeah, this would be ideal. But unfortunately, just not a good situation for the Pels right now. It shows you how hard it is to kind of get them out of this situation that they're in currently. So thanks for listening to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. Same time tomorrow, I'll be back with you guys, probably a little bit earlier. This one got out a little bit late today. Pels taking on the Wizards Saturday. I will preview that for you in Friday's edition of Locked On Pelicans, give you a final update or two on the trade deadline project we're doing with basketballbreakdown.com, see if any moves get done, what's going on there, and just try and give you a general update on everything and get you guys set for the weekend. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.